Well, have you ever felt like running away? I wonder if there's a human being alive who hasn't. I know I surely have. There have been moments when the pressures have been squeezing me in and the problems have been mounting up, and I was convinced that what I really wanted to do was get away. That there was some other place and some other way that I could use my life, something else I could do. Seems to be the first thing that comes to our minds when problems mount up. If I can just get out of this situation, if I can just get away from here, everything will be okay. I want you to think, first of all, tonight with me about this tendency we have to run away. And I think we all have it to some degree. At least, if you don't, maybe you're not normal, or maybe I'm very abnormal, I don't know, because it's entered my mind on a number of occasions. It starts when we're kids. Mom and Dad yell at us. We feel unloved or unappreciated, like we can never do anything right. We tell ourselves they don't really want us around here anyway. Maybe they'd miss us if we were gone. So we wrap up a couple sandwiches in a handkerchief and tie it to a stick, and away we go. Doesn't take very long to realize that it was a dreadful mistake, however, especially if the first night is cold and rainy. Running away is not always everything it's cracked up to be. The great escape sometimes turns out to be the great mistake. There are tens of thousands of teenagers tonight who are missing. Maybe you've read about them in various pieces of literature or seen them on newscasts. Right here in our own country, tens of thousands, many of them have chafed under parental rules and regulations, or ached under a lack of parental concern and understanding and love. And they've convinced themselves that life would be beautiful if only they could get away, if only they could have some freedom. So they disappeared. But for some, that freedom turned out to be bondage, greater bondage than they ever knew at home. The bondage to dirt and filth and drugs and hunger and sexual abuse, meaningless days, sleepless nights, and unpleasant and uncomfortable surroundings. And the great escape turned for them into great slavery and great bondage, from which there seems to be no hope of escape. Now, you might think we would grow out of it, grow out of this urge to escape when we get to be adults. But unfortunately, we don't always grow out of it. There are many, many adults tonight, maybe some right here in this room, who are having trouble in their marriage, who think maybe running away from the marriage is going to be the answer to it. Some just dream about it. Others actually do it. Some just disappear. Happens every day. Suddenly a mate is gone, sometimes leaving the children behind with the other mate. Some begin to take steps to dissolve the marriage. They think that's the way out. Sometimes it's the job that gets us down, gets tougher. The boss is bearing down on us. The answer is to quit, find another job. Things will be better somewhere else. Maybe it's a falling out with a friend at church, and so we just have to get away from it. And we think, maybe we go to another church, we'll make new friends, and everything will be all right there. Get away, escape, run. We hold it out there in front of us as the great answer, the great solution to many of our problems. But the ultimate attempt at the great escape is the attempt to escape from God, just as Jonah did. Some people begin to feel pressure in their Christian lives. Sometimes it's our fault as pastors putting that pressure on. People begin to feel like, well, we don't measure up to God's standard, and we never will, and they become overwhelmed with guilt. And instead of welcoming God's truth of love and forgiveness and acceptance, and using the resources he makes available for victory, they decide the answer is to shut God out of their lives, and they become spiritual dropouts. They begin missing, show up missing. They're not here anymore, somewhere else tonight. They missed that good musical. Maybe there's some right here who are toying with the idea. It's beginning to weigh down on you. You think maybe the answer is to just run away from spiritual things. There's a tendency in all of us to run away. Seems to be, at least we think it is, the easiest thing to do. The tendency toward running away. Will you think with me secondly tonight about the futility of running away? Jonah discovered it in all its reality. In verse 3 we read, "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa and found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." The Jews thought Tarshish was the farthest away point on the face of the earth. Most Bible scholars believe it was in southern Spain, about 2,500 miles from Israel. Surely God didn't live there. It was so far away, surely he wouldn't be there. He wouldn't be able to find Jonah there. Evidently, Jonah forgot that great Psalm of David. He was a prophet. He certainly had in his possession the Psalms. Most of them were written by this time. He certainly knew that great psalm about God's omnipresence, where David said, "Where can I flee from thy spirit or from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea," sounds like Tarshish, "even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee." The message of that psalm is you can't run away from God. It's absolutely impossible. You can run away from home, but God knows where you are. He's watching you every minute. You can run away from a marriage. You can run away from a job. You can run away from your friends. You can run away from your church. But God knows where you are, watching you every minute. You can go into a bar. You can go into a porno movie. You can go into a massage parlor. You can close the door behind you and think, in there behind those closed doors where the lights are dim, nobody sees. God doesn't know. But he's there. If he's in Sheol, he's certainly in those places. You're never out of God's sight. David taught us that God is everywhere, and it's filled, the scripture is filled with that concept, and it's futile to try to run away from him. It's impossible. You can't run away from a God who is everywhere. Running away is futile for another reason as well. You can't run away from yourself. Wherever you go, when you get there, that's where you're going to be, right there. The same person you always were, with the same weaknesses and the same faults and the same guilt and the same fears and the same hang-ups and the same needs and the same desires you always had. They're going to go right along with you. You'll be right there with all those problems. You'll have the same problems relating to people in your new location as you did in your old. You won't find people any more willing to give in to your wishes as they were before. In that new location, they're not going to be any more willing to bow to your demands or live up to your expectations than they ever were. Our selfishness and pride are our biggest problems, and we take them right along with us. We can't get rid of ourselves. Wherever we land, we're going to be there. Trying to run away is futile, not only because we cannot run away from God and run away from ourselves, but because we usually create another mess where we go, often worse than the one we left. Jonah did. In verse 4 we read, "And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep." See, he's created a bigger mess than what he had before. Now he's got a boatload of sailors whose lives are in jeopardy, and they're down on him when they find out what he's done. It doesn't sound any better to me than preaching in Nineveh would have been. Then he finds himself swimming in the middle of an angry ocean, down in verse 15. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. I like the King's Men version of that. Picked him up, threw him in the sea. Remember the song they sing? Threw him overboard. Before you know it, he's not swimming in an angry sea anymore. He's suffocating in the slimy belly of a great fish. And as one of the kids said, oh, yuck. You know? The Lord, verse 17, appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. As far as I'm concerned, all of that's far worse than preaching in Nineveh would have been, as bad as that might have been. And that's what usually happens when we try to run away. It happens to kids. Happens to teens. They probably end up in jail or detention home. That's far worse than home. It often happens to adults who have landed in a worse marriage than the first one, or a worse job than the first one, or a worse church situation than the first one. It's futile to try to run away. We've seen the tendency to run away and the futility of running away. What about the alternatives? Is there something better? It seems to be so simple and self-evident. The alternative is staying right where you are and doing what God wants you to do. You see, it isn't our location that needs to be changed, it's us. Wasn't Jonah's physical geography that needed to be changed, it was him. What Jonah lacked was a basic submission to the will of God, to the revealed word of God. He wanted his way rather than God's way. Now, there were probably two problems in Jonah's mind that account for his stubbornness and unwillingness to go to Nineveh. Bible commentators have suggested these two things. The first was the one clearly revealed in the book. See, if he warned the people of Nineveh that God would destroy them unless they repent, and they did repent, then Jonah thought that would make him look bad. See, he didn't really know what God was going to do. He said God would destroy them, and God doesn't, and that makes him look bad. He loses face. In fact, he said that very thing over in chapter 4 and verse 2, after Nineveh repented. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." Isn't that a terrible thing? We have a God who is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger. No rats. Isn't that awful? You know, it's hard to believe what Jonah is saying here. I knew you'd do this, God. I knew you'd repent. You'd change your mind and not destroy Nineveh. Now look how bad I look. You know, this is incredible. But don't be too hard on Jonah. We might have done the same thing. There's another possible explanation for his flight to Tarshish. You see, Assyria, of which Nineveh was the capital, was a growing power in Jonah's day, which threatened to overrun the nation Israel. And Jonah was patriotic. He didn't want his nation destroyed by Assyria. It would be far better if Nineveh just continued in its sin and God destroyed Nineveh, and that would, of course, protect his nation Israel. He wanted Nineveh destroyed, Assyria destroyed. Maybe it was both things. Maybe one or the other, I don't know. But in either case, it was selfish. He wanted it his way rather than God's way. And I think one of our reasons for running away is self-will. We want things our way. But they don't always work out our way. Sometimes people resist us. Rather than run, God wants us to stay where we are and submit to Him. In many cases, that will mean submitting to others as well. Ephesians 5:21 reveals to us that when we're filled with God's Spirit, we often submit to one another. You see, it means looking out for others' welfare before our own, considering their feelings before our own, and listening to their opinions, and sometimes giving in to their opinions. There's no biblical principle at stake. Staying where we are. I was amazed when I got home from church this morning and sat down for a minute to relax and picked up the newspaper to find the Peanuts comic, or no, it wasn't Peanuts, Dennis the Menace about running away. Did you read it? It's called a dentist soliloquy. Let me read it for you. He's in a chair in the corner, facing the corner. I wonder how much longer I got to sit here. He hollers, "Don't I get time off for good behavior?" Mom sure gets uptight about mud. She ought to play in it sometimes. She don't know what she's missing. I wish my folks would stop picking on me. Maybe I'll run away and go to a cowboy school or join the circus. No, I started out with him years ago, and I've been with him ever since, so guess I'll stay with him a little longer. That's what God wants us to do. I don't know the author of Dennis the Menace or his spiritual state, but I do know that God wants us to stick with it, in many cases, a little bit longer. Another reason we try to run away is that someone has hurt us. We don't like to be hurt, so we protect ourselves by running. Rather than run, God may want us to stay and confront them in love and meekness. There are a number of passages in the Scripture about that, like Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. Good passage of Scripture. Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Confront. Lovingly, graciously, but honestly confront. Not with accusations, not with condemnation, not with blame, but from what the perspective of how we have felt about that situation and what we would like to see happen. That's speaking the truth in love. We talked about it this morning. Ephesians 4:15 is the passage. Speak the truth in love. Rather than run, God wants us to stay and lovingly confront. Because that brings healing, you see. God can use it to bring healing, and healing is far better than running. Always. For some, it may be too late to stay and obey. You've already run. What can you do now? Let's look finally at the cure for running away. For those who can, the cure is doing exactly what Jonah did. Repenting, returning, and obeying. He finally did it. After the whale experience, he repented, he returned to Nineveh, and he did what God told him to do. And I love the song the kids sang. God is kind, God is merciful. Watches day by day. God is kind, God is merciful. When from him we stray. He's always ready to forgive and give us another opportunity to obey him. Remember what Ian said. No matter how often we run away, God never, never locks the door behind us. What a tremendous truth. He gave Jonah another opportunity to obey him. And he'll do the same for us. He'll do the same for you. Are you running tonight? I don't know what from, but you're running. Maybe trying to escape. Maybe still in your mind. You're just thinking about it up to this point. It's one of the options you've set up in your mind. One of the possibilities to work out the problem. Don't keep thinking about it. Thoughts often turn to deeds if we let them linger. Turn your thoughts to the Lord. Turn your thoughts to his word. Turn your thoughts to his will. Then ask him to help you obey. It may not be easy. God never said living the Christian life would be easy. But he tells us it will turn out for the best. It will turn out for the best, and it will bring greater joy and satisfaction than any other course of action we could probably take. Staying and obeying him, doing the thing he wants us to do. He always holds out hope to us if we will obey him. Don't run. Stay and obey. Now, for some, it's too late to go back. You already ran. And you've gotten involved in new things, new responsibilities, new involvements. God does have a plan for your life from this point on. He wants us to confess our sins, to yield our wills to Him, to claim His power to become the people He wants us to be, His power to obey His word. And we can do that right where we are. God is loving and forgiving. And the great mistake, the mistake of running away, can yet become great usefulness and great joy. If you will confess your sin, yield your will to Him, and claim His power to obey. Great usefulness and great joy. Don't run away. The greatest escape is to escape to Him and to His word and to His will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for an evening together in the things of the Lord, for the ministry of the children, and for the message of the book of Jonah. Lord, You know our hearts. I don't know what's in the minds and hearts of each individual here, but You do. And if I pray that, I pray, Lord, if there are some that have been toying with the idea of running from responsibilities, situations for which they find no other solution, that You'll give them the will to go on. Give them hope. Give them the desire to obey Your word. And Lord, give them great joy and blessing and obedience. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.